It's not very often that we talk about by-elections to fill up vacant seats in parliament and state assemblies. On 30th of October, 29 assembly seats and 3 parliamentary seats are going to by-polls. And it's not very often that, you know, political bigwigs and parties have so much at stake in by-polls. And these polls will have a significant bearing on the political dynamics in many states also. And that's why in this episode of Politically Correct, I have decided to talk about these by-polls. It's spread across 13 states, in fact 14 states. But you know, in Nagaland is opposition free now. Just a couple of months back, we saw how NPF had joined this NDPP-led alliance, and now it's opposition free. So ruling coalition is called United Democratic Alliance. So there was one seat going to polls in Nagaland also, to the by-polls. The candidate won unopposed. So now we are left with 29 seats in 13 states and one union territory. When I'm talking about UT, I'm talking about one parliamentary by-polls there. So let me take you from one seat to another to different states to explain why these by-polls are so important and why we should be looking at it, at their significance, in fact, in terms of their political impact or political implications. So let me start with 3 parliamentary by-polls. One is in Dadra and Nagar Haveli. You know, Mohan Delkar, the sitting MP, he had committed suicide. And the suicide rate, in fact, he had named many local officials of harassing him. He had named even the administrator of Dadra and Nagar Haveli, Praful Khoda Patel. In the FIR, his name is there. The investigations are on. So by-elections are happening to Dadra and Nagar Haveli seat. The Shiv Sena has filled it, Mohan Delkar's widow. Anyway, we'll get into individual seats a little later. There are 2 other parliamentary by-polls. One is in Khandwa, Madhya Pradesh, another is in Mandi, Himachal Pradesh. What's more important is, as I said, the assembly by-polls. So let me take you through each of them. So first, I'll start with Maharashtra. In Maharashtra, you have this by-poll to just one assembly seat, that is Deglur. You'll be surprised why I should be talking about one assembly by-poll, but I'll just explain the significance. Now, Deglur is, you know, what you've seen in Deglur, in fact, all big top politicians of the state have been visiting Deglur to actually campaign. The other day, you know, we saw how Devendra Fadnavis went to Nanded. Deglur is in Nanded district, in fact. So he went to Nanded to actually rope in the Shiv Sena candidate Sabane, who had contested against the Congress candidate in 2019 election and lost. After that, Shiv Sena, Congress, as we know, they all became part of MVA, Mahavikas Agri government, the coalition in Maharashtra. But the Shiv Sena candidate in 2019 election had joined the BJP and he's contesting a BJP ticket. Congress has, of course, given a ticket to the son of the deceased MLA. And it's the battle is shaping up very interesting because, you know, Fadnavis is involved. The other day we heard how Uddhav Thackeray actually, he was taking a swipe at the BJP that, you know, BJP has to import a Sena leader just in a by-poll. The party which is supposed to be the world's largest has to import a candidate. Anyway, be as it may, its significance is, you know, for MVA, in fact, this by-poll is very important because if you recall, the last time there was an assembly by-poll after the MVA had come together was in Pandharpur, that was in May this year only. The seat had fallen vacant after the death of an NCP MLA and BJP wrested that seat from the MVA. That was a big blow because when you have 3 parties coming together, Congress, the NCP and the Shiv Sena, and the BJP still manages to raise the seat from the 3-party coalition, it's pretty important. That tells you the emerging trend in that state. Now, after Pandharpur, this is another by-poll, that is Deglur. Again, a seat that fell vacant because of the death of a Congress MLA. Can MVA retain that seat? Because if it doesn't, it will have a bearing on the, you know, on the coalition, in a sense that if the 3 parties together, because so far the 3 parties have stuck together believing that they are electorally very effective. You know, 3 parties all together. If BJP repeats what it did in Pandharpur, it will be a big blow and it will have a bearing on the coalition because you already know there are internal contradictions, inherent contradictions in that alliance, ideological contradictions we are talking about. Now, if the alliance is found to be electorally ineffective or electorally, if it is unable to defeat the BJP, even if the entire, all the three parties are coming to, are part of that alliance, it will send a message that, you know, this so-called formidability of this alliance is misplaced and BJP is actually gaining an edge over them. And coming before next year's, municipal polls, especially in BMC, Bihar Mumbai Municipal Corporation, this will send out a big signal, because so far you have heard how the Congress, the Shiv Sena, the NCP, everybody has been talking that, okay, we'll contest alone. But then there are already talks happening, not openly, but they are trying to kind of come together, because if they are all split, they all contest separately, they may lose out on in the BMC polls. Another by polls lost, and you will see all these parties kind of going back to the drawing board and trying to do things for themselves, because if the three are not good enough to beat the BJP, it will put a big question mark on the continuation of this coalition. Because first of all, when this alliance came together, when these three parties came together, the idea was that together you can keep the BJP out of power. Now they are together because they think that together they can defeat the BJP. So after Pandharpur, if Deglur bipoles prove that that's not a case, and even the three together can do it, then probably each of these three parties will start looking for its own, for its own terms, and try to kind of strengthen their own positions in their own way, because they have been rivals in the past. I mean, NCP and Congress, of course, together, but it's about Shiv Sena and the other two. So we'll have many new, some new equations emerging in Maharashtra if MVA loses the Deglur bipole. And just to add here, like we are talking about Mohan Delkar's seat, the Dadra and Nagar Haveli. Now, Congress and the Shiv Sena, they have both fielded candidates in Dadra and Nagar Haveli. And we are given to understand that even Uddhav Thackeray is going to campaign in Dadra and Nagar Haveli. That will probably be his first outside his state to campaign for his party candidate in parliamentary bipole. Anyway, so that was about Maharashtra. Let's come to other states. Assam. Now in Assam, you have five seats going to polls, by polls. Now, two of the seats fell vacant because of the death of MLAs. And on three other seats, elections are happening because they fell vacant following the defection of MLAs, two Congress MLAs and one AIUDF MLA. Three had defected. BJP has fielded all three of them on their seats now on the party symbol. Two, of course, after the deaths, of course, like all parties are there. So, but let me explain, come to this, the significance of the Assam bipoles. As it is, the BJP is dependent on its allies, in fact, the UPPL and the Assam Gan Parishad, to get that majority. But as it is in the 126-member Assam Assembly, you need 64 seats to have that simple majority. BJP has only 59. Now, in these bipoles, on these five seats, BJP has fielded its candidate on three, the three defectors, in fact, while its allies have fielded candidates on the other two. If the BJP manages to win all these three seats, BJP's tally will go up to 62, just two short of a majority mark. And then again, there is another bipole happening, which is Election Commission did not announce a bipole for this seat, Majuli. Majuli was held by Sarbanand Sonowal, the former chief minister. So after his nomination to the Raj Sabha, he has become a minister now at the center. That's Majuli seat has fallen vacant. There will be bipoles there later, maybe a couple of months from now. If the BJP wins that seat also, BJP's tally will go up to 63 in the 126-member assembly. The halfway mark. That will actually, take a lot of pressure off Hemanta Biswa Sarma government, because right now you are dependent on your allies. You reach 62, 63, you are pretty comfortable. You don't have to depend on the clutches of your allies. So that's the significance of these bipoles for the BJP government in Assam. As for the opposition in Assam, you recall the Congress had led a 10-party alliance that, and they call it Mahajot in the assembly polls. The Congress had BPF, Congress had in the alliance, then the alliance had AIUDF of Badruddin Ajmal, then it had CPI, CPM, RJD, many other parties. That alliance is off now. So we saw how last month the Congress decided to dump the AIADF, because in the Congress they have this sense that, you know, going with Badruddin Ajmal probably led to counter polarization of the Hindu votes, and that probably might have affected the party. That's the Congress party's own assessment. So the Congress is split, that alliance is over now. So in this, in these bipoles to five seats, Congress has fielded candidates on all of them, on each of these seats. Congress was having negotiations with Akhil Gogoi. Akhil Gogoi is Raijor Dal for some kind of tie-up. It didn't happen because Congress refused to cede one of the seats, Thawri, to Raijor Dal, and that alliance is also off. So what you have today is all the opposition parties contesting separately in Assam bipoles now. Let's see, with Congress fighting without the AIADF, fighting without BPF, you know, all on its own. So if the defeat in Assam polls was attributed to Congress's alliance with Badruddin Ajmal, can the Congress stand on its own in this election? That would be a big question that all these Congress strategists should be looking an answer to in these bipoles. Another interesting thing is, you know, the way things are there in Assam, now Mahajot members, say for instance, RJD. RJD is supporting different candidates on different seats, even among opposition. So RJD is supporting AIUDF on one seat. It's supporting CPM on another seat, and Congress on the other three seats. CPM, for instance, CPM is supporting Congress on four seats, but supporting the CPA on the fifth seat. So that's how the opposition alliances, or no, not alliance, how the opposition parties are kind of ranged against each other in Assam now. So these five seats for which bipoles are happening are going to be important for Himanta Biswa Sarma's party and for the Congress too. That's about Assam. Let me take you to next election. Now in Bihar, for instance, you have bipoles to two seats. Now on these two seats, you know, Congress and RJD are contesting separately. RJD has been alleging that, you know, Congress kind of dragged it down. Congress contested 70 seats as part of the alliance in the assembly polls and could win only 19. So the RJD had decided to go all alone. RJD is pretty confident of doing well. Of course, it has to be, but the results will show whether the RJD needs Congress or not, because one of the seats, that Kusheshwar Asthan, was claimed by the Congress. These two seats, they fell vacant because the two JDU MLAs died. So these are actually JDU MLA seats, JDU seats. But then both parties are fighting against each other. Both opposition parties are fighting against each other in that election, as also against the BJP in the JDU, of course. But the importance of these bipoles in Bihar lie in, again, the numbers. So if you look at the Bihar Assembly today, Bihar Assembly has 243 seats. So the majority mark is 122. Right now, the NDA has, you have JDU, then you have the BJP, then you have Mukesh Sahni's VIP, Vikasshil Insan Party, and then you have Jitana Majhi's HAM, Hindustan Awam Morcha. Now these four parties together have 126 seats in an assembly where the majority mark is 122. These two smaller allies, Jitana Majhi and Mukesh Sahni, the HAM and VIP, both have four seats each. So Nitish Kumar has to depend on, or the government has to depend on the clutches of these two allies. Now if the opposition wrests these two seats from the JDU, it will be difficult, because then opposition will gain further. NDA remains at 126. At 128, again, you have some kind of comfort, because one of the two parties, VIP or the HAM, walks out, you can again cling on to power while staying with one of the parties. So both parties have to walk out to actually bring the government down, or to give any opportunity to the opposition to try to form the government. But if it remains at 126 and the JDU loses the bipoles too, it makes the Nitish Kumar government very much dependent on both of these allies. These allies will have a lot of leverage. And that's why these bipoles become crucial for the Nitish Kumar government too. Then let's look at some other seats. You have Assam, Andhra Pradesh. Actually, Andhra Pradesh thinks, as I say, it doesn't matter. They have one assembly bipole, but that will not matter much. That will not change any equations on the ground. Bihar, we have talked about it. Haryana, then. Come to Elinabad. Now, Elenabad seat, if you remember, Abhay Chautala had resigned from that seat in protest against the central farm laws. Bipoles are happening. Abhay Chautala is again the INLD candidate. But why it's important is, for the INLD is very important because Om Prakash Chautala is out of jail after 10 years. Once he's out of the jail, what he's finding is JJP of Dushyant Chautala has actually taken over much of its vote bank. And Chautala has been traveling around. He has been campaigning and he has been holding rallies across the state, trying to retrieve the INLD's lost turf, or retrieve it from the JJP and Dushyant Chautala's party. Abhay Chautala is seeking re-election again. It's important for him too. If he does not win, it will be like a death knell for the INLD, because the INLD is already looking politically irrelevant now. JJP has become the main party. If INLD loses in Elenabad, despite the fact that Abhay Chautala had held that seat, it would actually be a big indicator of how the opposition camp is kind of reshaping. So INLD out, then we'll have the Congress and JJP. I mean, when you're talking about the Jat-dominated seats. And that will also show that INLD probably will have to struggle much more to become politically relevant. But that's more than the opposition, it's important for the BJP. The BJP has fielded this controversial MLA, Gopal Kanda's brother, Govind Kanda. BJP, if it manages to defeat Abhay Chautala or manages to raise that seat from the INLD, it will be a big achievement, because we know how the BJP has been on a sticky wicket over farm laws. In Haryana, you know, every day you have farmers' agitation happening in one part, one or the other part. It will be a big boost to the BJP if it manages to raise control of that seat. That's why the Elenabad bipole is so important for all the parties in Haryana. Let's come to another seat. Now we are talking about Himachal Pradesh. Now Himachal Pradesh, again, we have one parliamentary seat going to bipole and three assembly bipoles. It's very important for Chief Minister Jairam Thakur. I'm sure he must be thinking about it all the time. See, both Gujarat and Himachal Pradesh are going to assembly polls next year, by October, November next year. In Gujarat, we have seen what the BJP has done. Just to beat anti-incumbency, BJP changed the entire cabinet, dropped everybody from CM to every minister. Nobody was taken in the next cabinet. Jairam Thakur will be acutely conscious of that, because this is like a litmus test for him. If the results show that, you know, there is some strong anti-incumbency against him, against his party, against his government, well, he would shudder to think whether the BJP high command would like to repeat what it did in Gujarat, just to beat anti-incumbency. So it's very important for Jairam Thakur too. For the opposition side, again, you have one parliamentary bipole in Mandi. Now in Mandi, it's Pratibha Singh, that is Virbhad Singh's widow. She is contesting on Congress ticket. For Pratibha Singh, it's a fight to retain her husband's legacy, political legacy. Because Virbhad Singh is the tallest leader of Himachal. He was, and for the Congress, he's kind of, nobody has that kind of a stature. In his absence, Pratibha Singh would like to actually show that, okay, the family still retains his political legacy. And so it's not very important for Pratibha Singh. If the Congress loses, or if she loses for Mandi, it will show that post-Virbhad Singh things have shifted and she does not really have that kind of an appeal. So obviously there will be a lot of infighting in the Congress again, which always happened even when Virbhad Singh was there. But he was the kind of, nobody would question his stature as the tallest leader. In his absence, what happens in the Congress, we'll see. The Mandi bipole, parliamentary bipole would tell us, of course, also the assembly bipole, where the Congress stands today in the absence of Virbhad Singh. Then let's come to another state, Madhya Pradesh, for instance. Again, in Madhya Pradesh, you have three seats going to bipoles, Prithvipur, Raigaon, and Jobat, and also a parliamentary seat, Khandwa. It's very important in terms of the numbers in the assembly, it may not be that significant because the BJP has a comfortable majority there. But when it comes to the Chief Minister, Shivraj Singh Chauhan, it's very important because, you know, he's not somebody who is kind of liked, I won't say liked very much, but he's not, BJP High Command is looking at some kind of a generational change. BJP High Command is looking to promote a new crop of leaders in Madhya Pradesh. And there are so many contenders. I mean, you name them, you'll keep naming them for the next five minutes. There are so many politicians eyeing Shivraj Singh's chair. If the BJP performs badly in these bipoles, there will be a big question mark on the durability of the Shivraj Singh government. Not the BJP, of course, BJP government will be there, but chief minister, whether the BJP high command would actually look to kind of go for change of guard in Madhya Pradesh too. It's a bit speculative, but Shivraj Singh Chauhan has been under pressure, especially because the BJP is looking to have a new crop of leadership in the state. That's the importance for Shivraj Singh Chauhan. Let's come to other states. Rajasthan again, you have two assembly bipoles happening. It's very important because Vasundhara Raje has been doing her own things. She's doing things separately from the party, and we know her rift with the party high command. So it's important for her detractors in the party to prove that, even if she is not there, they can win the bipoles, and the BJP BJP can survive and thrive even without Vasundhara Raje actively campaigning for them. So these bipoles are in Rajasthan important in that sense. Then let's talk about Hujurabad bipole in Telangana, for instance. It's again very important for Telangana politics. We saw last year in November, the BJP wrested control of a TRS held seat. TRS, the Telangana Rashtra Samiti, the ruling party, the Dubbaka assembly bipole. BJP won that, surprising everyone in Telangana, because in Telangana BJP is hardly there. BJP has hardly been a kind of factor in Telangana politics. It's the Congress which is the principal opposition party. But in November last year, after the BJP wrested control of Dubbaka assembly seat, you start seeing all that kind of buzz that, BJP is probably emerging as the principal opposition party in Telangana. Then you had Greater Hyderabad municipal polls, where BJP did very well. So if Greater Hyderabad Municipal Corporation has 150 seats, 150 wards, BJP managed to win 48. So in 2016 municipal election, BJP had won just 4 wards, from 4 to 48. It was a huge improvement in the BJP's tally. And that's when we saw, from then on, everybody started treating BJP as a party to watch out for. It has emerged as a principal opposition party, but these elections happened a year back. Has the BJP been able to sustain that momentum or further gain on that will be clear in the Hujurabad bipole. Again, Hujurabad seat was won by the TRS in the last election. Now that bipoles are happening, everybody is looking at the BJP candidate. And BJP candidate happens to be Itala Rajendran. Itala Rajendran, if you remember, he was the health minister in KCR government. KCR sacked him from the cabinet. He had joined the BJP. And he is contesting the poll now. It's his seat. Now it's a grudge match for KCR also, because somebody who was his minister has walked over to the other side. So for KCR, it's not just about blocking the BJP's rise, but also about this grudge match where his loyalist has defected. If the BJP manages to win Hujurabad, that will actually show that it has finally cemented its position as the principal opposition party in Telangana, and Congress's slide continues. So that's the importance of that single bipole in Telangana. Then we have other elections. We have West Bengal, of course. We have 4 assembly seats going to bipoles. But West Bengal, the way the BJP MLAs have been quitting the party, MLAs, MPs, and joining the BJP. So post-elections in West Bengal, things have started shifting completely. Whether the BJP has been able to recover any ground. So let's not judge the BJP by what happened in Bhawanipur. Of course, CM Mamata Banerjee was contesting from there, and BJP itself never expected to win from there. It was just about proving a point. But these bipoles, again, and one of the major planks actually in the bipoles, plank, the BJP plank is, attack on Hindu temples in neighboring Bangladesh. Whether it works, doesn't work, has the BJP been able to kind of keep its house together, whether it's still seen as a challenger to the TMC, has the BJP started losing ground post-assembly election. These things will be clear in these bipoles. So that's the importance of these bipoles, not in terms of numbers. Numerically, it doesn't matter whether BJP gains 4 seats or 2 seats or doesn't, because the Trinamool Congress has an absolute majority. It's about looking at the BJP, where it stands today after its defeat in the assembly election. Then you have some seats, they are not very important for any political party as such in terms of their dominance of a state or in terms of the changing political dynamics in the state. But there are some other states like, say, Meghalaya. Meghalaya, three seats are going to bipoles. But if at all in these bipoles, what is important is on all these three seats, women voters outnumber male voters. That I found is the most interesting part of this election. Otherwise, on the ground, you don't really see much changing. Because, you know, Conrad Sangma government is pretty comfortable. It has the BJP, it has some other many, many smaller partners. And numerically, it's comfortable. Although in the election, the Meghalaya assembly election last time, the Congress had emerged as the single largest party. But finally, it was trumped by that coalition that Hemanta Biswa Sarma was able to put together under Conrad Sangma. So as I said, in terms of numbers, it's not very important. But yes, the interesting part about the female voters outnumbering others, that's something that interests me, and I would be interested in looking at which party they vote for, depending on who wins. We'll reach our conclusion. So that's all about these bipoles. Let's wait for the 2nd of November when the results will be out. So on 30th of October, you have elections. On 2nd of November, you'll have results. Probably I'll get back to you to try to revisit the things I have discussed just now and see how it will change things on the ground in terms of political dynamics in the states, in terms of the future of many political bigwigs, including chief ministers, what it may mean to them once the results are out on 2nd of November. That's all from me in this episode of Politically Correct. Thanks for watching.